How you doing? again, this is so stupid. It's National Craft Month. Yeah, I know. It's National Craft Month. If you're crafty and you have a lot of crafts, what a stupid word. Maybe you sew or you make little porcelain ashtrays. Remember that from third grade? I don't know. Maybe it was junior high. I don't really remember. But anyway, this is National Craft Month. It has nothing to do with Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots. If it did, that would have a different meaning to National Craft Month. That would mean it's Craft Month. Visit your local massage parlor. No, it's not that. It's craft, man. It's crafty stuff. And the reason that I'm laughing is that it is so stupid. We are the stupidest human race ever. We really are. We have to take an activity and make it a national month of it. And what stupider thing could you come up with than doing crafts? It's just like, wow, I love to macrame. This is my month. It's so stupid. It's just so stupid. We're intelligent human beings. We have molecules inside. We make babies. Well, some people do. We invent things. We destroy our planet. I mean, we're like intelligent people, right? And yet, we take the month of April and we call it National Craft Month. The hell's wrong with us? Don't we have anything better to do with our lives than start to name activities after months of to honor them? What's July? National Spoon Day? We all love spoons. We eat with spoons. We have soup with spoons. It's National Spoon Month. Take a spoon and use it. Shut up. What's so stupid? You are so stupid, you human beings. You are so stupid. Stop being so stupid. Shut up.
Shut up!
Wow. Anyway, welcome to the program.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
It is.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
National Craft Month, everybody. Hey, did you know it's National Craft Month? Hey, it's National Craft Month. Are you crafty with your hands? Do you make things with your hands? Do needlepoint? It's your month. Hey, this is the first day of Major League Baseball. Another stupid. This is a true story. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth the 23rd, whatever she is, she was introduced years back to the first American baseball game, and her response was, "That's a long time for nothing to happen." I love you, Queen. I mean, I don't love you, but for that line, I do. That's pretty observant. That's why you're the queen. You're so observant. I wonder if the queen has a craft at all. Probably. Sit in that throne all day. You got to do something. I don't know what. Crossword puzzles? What do you do if you're the queen? How do you spend your day in the palace? It's a big place. It's got like 200 bathrooms in it. I mean, like, seriously? Do these people not eat cheese? What do you do all day in the palace, Queen?
Let's see. It's 3 o'clock. I think I'll walk over here. Okay, it's 3:05. I think I'll walk into this room. Have I used the 64th bathroom yet today? I don't know. I know I stunk up the 63rd.
It's my impression of the Queen. Do you like it? You know what the problem is with being the Queen or the Pope? You can't go make your own sandwich. You can't go wandering into the kitchen and make a sandwich. They have people make the sandwiches for them. They never get the personal excitement of crafting their own sandwich in the kitchen. It's pitiful. It's pathetic. This is going to make me very unpopular. Not the whole show, although that also could have an effect. But I don't watch baseball. I find baseball, I agree with the Queen on that one policy issue. I just can't. As I alluded to yesterday, I'll eat the hot dogs, I'll drink the beer, but I can't watch the game. I can't. And I can't be amongst you other people. You're just very animalistic and, oh man, just very weird at baseball games. You're just like, watch, it's odd. It's like a gang mentality, and it's degrading to your own humanity. Baseball is just really, it's a bunch of guys standing out in an open pasture, waiting for a ball to come their way. It's really boring for them, and it's really boring for me. I mean, the Queen's right. Nothing happens. When someone hits the ball with the bat, the crowd goes, ooh, something could happen here. And it usually doesn't. The guy's usually out at first base. I'm sorry, I'm being sexist. The guy or the girl are usually, there are no girls in baseball, man, not in professional baseball. Why not? I don't know. Let's not get into that. It's just, they hit the ball, they run to first base. Usually by the time they get there, the balls arrive first and they're out. Maybe they'll go to second or third. Oh my God, how exciting all of a sudden after 2 hours of nothing. It's just awful. The funniest part to professional baseball for me is when it's the end of the inning and the team that's in the field, the left fielder, the right fielder, the center fielder, you know, those people that pretty much have nothing to do unless something happens, they all go to the dugout, but they don't even run. They kind of like just trot, like, you know, to make it look like they've still got some energy. It's pretty pathetic. It's one of the few sports where the players are often overweight. It's just odd. It's an odd sport. The only person that's doing anything in a baseball game is the pitcher. He's throwing balls as fast as he can, and he's trying to put them in a particular position over the home plate. I suppose that takes some skill. But everybody else is just kind of waiting around for something to happen. The batter's standing there waiting for the ball to come over the plate so he could maybe hit it. I mean, I guess he has to concentrate a little bit. The catcher, he does what his title is. He catches the ball. I mean, someone's got to catch it. Otherwise, if there wasn't a catcher, there'd be a position called the chaser. You'd have to go chasing the ball and throwing it back to the pitcher. It takes a long time. Other than that, nothing's happening. And you can tell in a baseball game that nothing is happening, always, because the sportscasters, the baseball announcers, they're not really talking about baseball at a point because they've run out of stuff to say, because nothing's happening. Listen to it. The sportscasters, this will be the conversation. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here at the ballpark. Joe, how long did it take you to get to the park today?
Well, Seattle's a beautiful city, Bob. And it's got the Space Needle, I believe. And we had a submarine sandwich down at the local sub shop. They make the best. They make the best, I believe, in the entire country, Bob.
I thought you were Bob.
I don't even know at this point. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful city. Oh, look. Strike. There's a strike. One strike, two balls on Pepe Joe's. I came up to Seattle yesterday. I got to the hotel, got my bags up to the room, realized I forgot my pants. Well, I had to call my wife back in Chicago and have her special delivery my pants.
Are you kidding, Bob? You had no pants?
That's right. I had forgotten to pack my pants. Oh, that's strike two. Full count on Pepe Joe. That was a problem. So I had to borrow pants from the hotel.
That's amazing, Joe.
Well, yes, and I know, Bob.
That's the ball game. Every once in a while, the batter will hit a ball far into left field. Perhaps it could be a home run, perhaps not. It depends on whether the left field player can catch the ball. For a split second, there is a small amount of excitement, but then he caught the ball, no excitement. Ron,
you're missing the point of the whole game.
You know what? No, I'm not. I think you're missing the point of the whole game. It so much doesn't matter. Look, if this ball club only played like maybe 20 games, each game would be incredibly significant, similar to football, where every game, something's on the line, because there aren't that many games in total. When you're, I don't know how many games are in baseball, I think it's like 160 or something, or 2,073 or something. What difference does it make if you lose that game? What difference does it make? What was the point to that whole thing? Why didn't you just call in and say, you know, we'll forfeit this one. We have to travel all the way across the country. Our guys are tired from last night eating too much spaghetti. So we'll take a loss on this. And, you know, it doesn't matter. There's like 160 games. We're going to lose like one game by not showing up. What's the big deal? Come on. And the salaries that these ball players get. Come on, man. Is it minimum wage? No, not quite. They get paid millions and millions and millions of dollars a year to stand in the field. I mean, pick some corn or something. Do something. Do something while you're out there. You know, clean up the area. Pick up the debris or something. I mean, just standing there. They're just standing there making millions of dollars. I totally don't get that entire sport. I really don't. And then I hear these experts, like in Field of Dreams, there's a whole monologue that, you know, oh, the baseball is the national sport of God, and this is, it's magical. It's every child's dream. What are you talking about? It's a ball and a stick and people standing there. What are you talking about? Well, how are you stuck in this tradition of crap? Ron, you're making yourself very unpopular. A lot of people like baseball. It is America's national pastime. No, America's national pastime is not baseball. It's going on your cell phone and playing games. That's America's pastime. Let's not kid ourselves. America's pastime is sitting on our ass. That's our pastime. That's what we do well. That country, that America, man, I've never seen people sit on their ass so well. They really know how to sit on their ass over there in that country. And it's obvious because the president is the ass, so it just makes sense. President Trump wants to not fund the Special Olympics anymore. That was a decision yesterday in their budget. $0, not a dollar, not one penny from the federal government to the Special Olympics. Something that's been going on for half a century for people who are disabled to feel like they can participate and compete. They are not handicapped in that sense of participating. The government, not a dime, not a penny, not a penny. Nice move, Trump. Shows that your heart is as large as your ass. That didn't make sense, but you know what I mean. I just wanted to say the word ass again. Trump also wants to completely throw out Obamacare through the courts. He says he's going to replace it with something. He said for 3 years now that he's going to replace Obamacare. Hasn't come up with anything. I want to abolish it. What are you going to replace it with? I don't know. Something better. What is that? I don't know yet. I have no idea. I don't know. It's my president. Here's my president. I'm sorry. Everything's funny to me. And it all stems from National Craft Month. What craft will I be participating in this month in order to celebrate National Craft Month? I will make an ashtray. That would be fun, huh? I'll make an ashtray in a kiln or something, and I'll give it to somebody. Oh! Yeah. Nobody really smokes anymore, but those ashtrays are still very popular. I think you can put candy in them too. I think you're allowed to do that. I'm not sure. I don't know much about anything, to be honest with you. We do have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the show, which is getting closer to that time. He's talking about intuition. Ooh. About doing things from the gut. That's what the president does. Well, wow. Do I have intuition? If I do, it's wrong. What is intuition? Should you be going by it? It'll be very, very interesting. We'll talk to our guest very, very shortly. Do you like my voice, by the way?
Okay, Ron Van Dam may not be the prettiest face in radio, but come on. That voice, am I right? You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the sexiest voice in podcasting on New England Broadcasting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, by the way. Thank you for that compliment. Usually don't get compliments. It is also springtime, and it's time for allergies. Ooh, boy, can't wait. That's when the trees say to the human beings, you're chopping us down, we'll make you sneeze for a long time. We'll make your eyes water, we'll make your eyes itch, we'll give you skin rashes. Chopping down trees, huh? Pollen also comes from flowers. Yeah. You're gonna pull us out of the ground to give to a loved one on Valentine's Day every year, and then again for Mother's Day, and okay, how about a little bit of this then? How about some allergies? How about that? See if you enjoy that. They talk about the great things about spring, and I'm not being negative here. You know, it's a psychological boost for many people. Not for me, but for many people it is. And yet it does come with, I hate to be negative about this, but it comes with a lot of problems, man. Comes with the pollen. I don't know the exact numbers. I could make up a number and pass it off as true, but I'm not like that. But I'm guessing that from the number of people I talk to, half of them have allergies and the other half don't. So I think there's a lot of people who have allergies to a lot of different things. Pollen for sure. Hay. How many people can go on a hayride anymore? Nobody's raising their hands. Nobody can. Hay fever, pollen, man, it's just awful. And then the insects come out, you know. It's like, you know, okay, now people, you can go outside and enjoy the outdoors. By the way, we're going to throw some obstacles at you. We're going to make you sneeze and itch, and we're going to send out mosquitoes to bite the hell out of you. we'll get those little gnatty things, you know, that fly around in little clouds of gnats, and, you know, we'll have them buzz around your face for a while. We'll throw in a couple of skunks in your neighborhood. How about that? Maybe a wild coyote or something to eat your pet, you know. We'll take care of it. Hey, how about those army ants, you know, who, like, they're very, very tiny. They come walking into your house and you never know how they got in there. Let's give that a shot. How about that, huh? How about some rodents? How about that? Would you like a rodent in your house? How about in your attic? Don't have an attic? They'll build one, believe me. Rodents love to live up there, under the rooftop, whatever. We'll make your spring a living hell is what we're going to do. You like bird poop? No, who does? How about on your car? You like that? You like it on your car? How about your windshield? So you can't even see out the car. You have to clean it off every morning. You like that? We're going to throw some birds around for that thing. Yeah, we're going to have some fun with you, with the little human race, you. Try to destroy the planet, will you? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that the more that we destroy the planet, the more it comes back at us in the form of discomfort? Yeah, have you tried? Take a look at that. Oh, all these floods and tornadoes and storms being more intense than ever, and the polar ice caps melting at a pretty startling rate, and beaches becoming eroded over the years, inch by inch by inch. The planet is pretty much pissed at you. Not at me, because I don't go to the beach, because I burn too easily. So not at me, but at you. I talked to this young woman yesterday. I do that every once in a while, just for kicks, just to make myself feel good. And she lives on Cape Cod. And I said, oh, you must love the beach. She says, I do love the beach. She says, I go to the beach every day. I lie there all day when I can, you know, when I'm not working, man. I am at the beach. And I said, well, I guess you don't burn, do you? She says, no, when I go to the beach, I just tan. I am one of those lucky people. And my response was, well, fuck you. I mean, you know, good for you. Just good for you. I can't do that. My colors at the beach are white to purple. That's how I tan, man. Tan is not in the color spectrum when I go to the beach. It does not work like that. I have to cover up my body entirely. I actually have to wear a tuxedo. I just burn if my skin is exposed to, God, I can't even do a 60-watt bulb in a room anymore. It's just, it's too much. It's just too much. Down to 40 watts. I just can't. Yeah, man. Hell with you. The Powerball jackpot was won by a Wisconsin person yesterday. That's the third largest Powerball jackpot in Powerball jackpot history. I don't know this Wisconsin person. I don't know if it's a male or a female or a zombie or whatever. All I know is that person won, and I automatically hate them. I just automatically hate them. Could be the nicest person in the world, but you won money that I kind of thought I wanted to win in a small way. You won it. I hate you. Just like this young lady who said she goes to the beach all the time and just lies there and enjoys lying on the beach and hearing the ocean. I hate you too. I mean, I wish no harm to you. I don't wish any harm to you. I just hate your guts. That's all, because you're doing something that I can't do because I'm limited. So as a result, in order to make myself feel better about myself and my limitations, I need to hate you. It's nothing against you. You could be a wonderful person. I'm required, as a result of not getting something that you somehow get easily, I must, under the laws and statutes of this country, I must automatically hate you. It's nothing personal. Nothing at all. You're a lovely person. I just have to hate you. I have to. That's my craft. That's what I do. I hate you. And I only use it in words. I don't hate you and I'm trying to do something to destroy you. No, no, not like Trump. No, these are just words. That's all. It's words to make myself feel better. That's all it is. All right, our guest is going to talk about intuition, something that I don't believe I have any of. Therefore, this author who wrote about intuition, I must automatically hate you because I have it. I don't have it. You apparently have intuition. I apparently don't. So that's my automatic response. I'm sorry. That's the way that goes. So we'll speak to our guest right after. Man, I would love a hamburger right now.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the fuck did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm good. Great. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. Rick Snyder joins us. He's the author of the book, Decisive Intuition. It's how to harness your intuition to make tough, smart, and prosperous decisions, whether you're making personal decisions in your life or in business or whatever, even what to eat. I don't know. It's how to make the proper decisions. This subject kind of hits home for everybody, because we've all made decisions in our lives that we may regret or look back and say, boy, I wish I didn't do this, or I wish I did do this. And this kind of gives you an insight, I guess, into yourself, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly, Ron. A lot of this is really about self-awareness. And the more we track how do we actually get information, not just in our head and our thoughts, but all the ways that we can actually be open to getting information throughout the whole day and how that can inform us to make better decisions.
You know, every once in a while, I think we're all in a position where we do a little bit of research, those of us that take the time to do that, but you still struggle between what you know would probably work based on your research, but something in your body's telling you, oh, I'm nervous about this, I don't know.
Exactly. And in fact, that's what the latest neuroscience is showing us, is that there's a heart intelligence, a gut intelligence, mm-hmm. and we actually have neuroreceptors in almost every cell of our body. So we're literally taking in information all the time that's intelligent. And so the more that we include that in our decision-making, it actually makes better and faster decisions.
Okay. Now, of course, this conversation is all void of what Trump does. Let's get that straight to begin with.
Well, he's a gut guy.
Yeah, he is a gut guy, and I don't know how good the gut is. I mean, is gut different than heart and intuition?
Well, I mean, they do serve different functions, but here's what I would say is more what I think he is really saying. He might not know this. Gut, there's a difference between impulsivity and intuition.
Okay.
And I might have an impulse to go get a lottery ticket, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's coming from my intuition and my deeper intelligence. And so I think that's one of the differences, is how do you start to track when you have this, like a grab towards something that feels impulsive versus something that's actually coming from a more clear and spacious place. Yeah. That's usually how our intuition speaks to us, is when we're in that more spacious type of frame.
Yeah, see, you said gut, and then you use the word intelligence, so that does discount that particular person. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Does gut and intuition, is that based off of experience, or is it based off of something else?
You know, experience is a big part of it, and really it's where we store all of our past memories in our subconscious. Uh-huh. And so a lot of times when we're in a new situation, it's going to be based on our past experience. But sometimes we get intuitions that have nothing to do with a situation that we've been involved with before also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a way that we're reading the whole environment in real time. And that's really the gift of intuition, is it allows us to read out what's happening in our environment and also anticipate what wants to happen next.
Hmm. I have a constant struggle usually, because it's all about me, I have a constant struggle as to, this is hard to put, if you do nothing, then no harm. But if you do nothing and there's no harm, you never advance ahead. You're never in a better place, yet you're safe if you don't do anything. Is that a personality thing?
Well, here's where I would challenge that on one level, that sometimes not making a decision is making a decision.
Well, true.
And sometimes there's opportunities in life or business or whatever it might be where, especially if you're leading or managing, where you actually have to make a call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you can have that analysis paralysis that could really also hurt you the other way.
Ah. Yeah, so doing nothing is a no, actually.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes waiting something out makes sense while you're gathering more data, you're sensing something out, and that sometimes that's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, you know, life's asking you to take action.
Yeah. You know what I found having my own business, that life decisions and business decisions are kind of one and the same. They require the same triggers. The results are similar. And it's kind of like your life is like managing your own business in a way.
You know, it's a really good comparison. I like to say how you do business is how you do your life.
Yeah.
And so how do you show up in your company? Do you hold back? Do you communicate what you need to?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the dynamics of how you show up there? And then how do you see that play out in your life with your kids, your family, your neighbors, whoever that might be?
Are some of us scared of mistakes?
Say that again?
Are people scared of mistakes?
Oh, for sure. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why people don't want to trust their intuition is they're afraid of making a mistake.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we disconnect from our deeper intelligence, and that's where we over-rely on our spreadsheets and our data and our metrics or even the influential people around us, because we've actually stopped trusting ourselves on a very fundamental level.
Mm. I mean, if we can reverse, let's say make a decision, and then you figure shortly after, well, this is not working out as I thought. I guess it's simple enough most of the time to reverse the decision, or to stop what you were doing and go backwards, or to end what you have purchased and return it. Is it as simple as that, or is there more to it?
Well, in one way, yes, and one way, no. And I think where it is as simple as that is we're actually... if you're with your intuition, you're listening in a real time, as an ongoing relationship. So if you, quote unquote, make a mistake or offshoot too much in a decision you make, you can keep listening for the signals and cues that you're getting so that you can course correct.
Mm.
And I think that's what's great about intuition is you're really tuned into what's happening in real time, which allows you to course correct and be more adaptive faster. But the hard part of that is it means you have to be able to listen to your cues and signals.
Mm.
And a lot of times we're so distracted with our phones, our technology, our media, that we have a hard time really getting quiet and slowing down, that we can even detect what we're sensing.
True. So using the gut and intuition doesn't mean that you don't work hard, and that it's just as simple as a little spark going off, a little fairy on your shoulder saying, yeah, do it. I mean, I guess it's really not that simple, right?
You know, sometimes it's really challenging, especially, once again, if you have a lot of influential people around you and groupthink.
Yeah.
But you have a different sense of where you should go or what should happen.
Yeah.
That could be really difficult moments to really take action on what you feel.
Yeah. In the book itself, it gives you steps as to how to process this. And when you know that you're, that this is intuition, and when you don't, and that's inside the book. I don't want to divulge too much of that, but you do have a 6-step process, I understand.
Yeah, so it's basically, the core of the book is a 6-step process to get in touch with your intuitive intelligence. Mm-hmm. And just to list the 6 steps very quickly, they're basically, first, a perspective shift where you're open and receptive,
yep,
so that you can even start to listen. Second step is slowing down so you can hear your signals and cues.
Uh-huh.
Third step is dealing with your inner critic so you can separate the voice of your critic from the voice of your deeper intuition. Step four is then listening to your body and tuning into the signals and cues for how you get your intuitive language. And then step five is asking for guidance, building a relationship, and mm-hmm. asking for what feels right in whatever path you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the last step is taking action from your inner signals and cues,
mm-hmm.
that you bring it into the world and make change happen.
Yeah. And as interesting as that is, which to me is more significant, are there are roadblocks which you should recognize. Once you recognize the roadblocks, then you don't trip over them. And I think that's very significant too. And that's also in the book, Decisive Intuition. It's available everywhere, I assume.
Yep, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever they sell books near you.
Okay, and what if we wanted to follow you, and this, I mean, not in a stalking way, but follow you in a literary sense.
I'm glad you named that.
Yes, we want to clarify. How do we do that?
Yeah, you can find me. My website is invisible-edgellc.com, and Invisible Edge is where we bring intuitive intelligence and skills to the business space. And you can also find me on Rick A. Snyder at the usual social media handles, and also Invisible Edge.
Perfect. Decisive Intuition, Rick Snyder, thank you so much. Very, very interesting stuff. Thank you. I'm done. I've had it. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Okay, it's over. That's it. I'm done. That's it for today. We'll be right back.